Like Jason, he's going to be a natural. They're going to they better watch out at the big desk.
I agree.
Because he's a natural sport BS talker and talks the way men talk.
And has charisma.
Charisma, energy. Oh, yeah. He's got all the tangibles.
And so a couple of those old guys might be worried.
Yep. I would agree.
Jason's nipping at their heel if they've moved him into this position.
Yeah, I mean, I agree.
A lot of people said the same thing about Charles Barkley when he transitioned to commentating. And he's been phenomenal. I think he's one of the best in the business. So it's the same thing.
Who retired when Charles Barkley came aboard? I mean, somebody had to leave. I mean, that's the way it goes. I'm so glad we're getting out before someone pushes us out.
No kidding.
You know what I'm saying?
I know.
I feel real lucky about that.
Okay, so I found another CJ article.
Oh, yeah. She just wants to ride in her shame.
Oh, no. It's just so funny.
It's All right, extended alert.
This one is dated. It's a belated.
You got to give CJ credit, though, for writing some shady shade.
She was so good at the shade. she excelled at shady shade.
You could pull up a lawn chair and sit under her shady palm tree, and she had no end.
Okay, so this is headline CJ. The belated obituary, a shtick that may not die around my talk, FM 107.
Oh, no.
And this is October 20th, 2014.
Oh, boy.
And Mouseketeer fans, Julia Cobb, my name's spelled wrong, and Lori Bargini still miss Annette. Last week, the host of My Talk 10, FM 10, whatever we're called, Afternoon Drive Show, announced the death of adored Mouseketeer Annette Funicello. more than 18 months late.
Yeah, right.
And, the death is not funny, but the Lori and Julia show gaffe is hilarious. Their colleagues are not about to forget it. As the male half of the station's Colleen and Bradley show told me, I've been going up to Lori and Julia telling them to think of other celebrities that are dead. Bradley Turner says with a smile, they did it to themselves, but boy, did they. So here's how it went down. The monument, this was monumental.
She's writing all this.
This is her.
This is amazing press.
Even for Lori and Julia, who've been underinformed part of, who may being underinformed part of their shtick. Lori Bargini opens the show with a kind of breathy breaking news announcement of a notable obituary. Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, some people won't know who this is, but many of you will. Annette Funicello has passed away at the age of 70. Thus began Funicello remembrances from Lori, stressing that Walt Disney Company had confirmed the death, while Britney Spears, another former Mouseketeer, weighed in. They recalled Frankie Avalon on the beach playing in a bingo movie. The impact of Annette's movies on Lori's dad was discussed.
Oh, yes.
The most useful part was their information about MS, the disease that crippled Funicello. Julia Cobb shared an acquaintance's description of what the disease feels like in the earlier stages. Funicello's passing was celebrated until about the 7:01 mark in the show's first hour.
Oh, boy.
Then Donnie Love, producer and normally the brains of the show, said, I have to stop you. We are collectively idiots. I don't know how we made this mistake. I blew it. I admit it. I may have been the biggest idiot of all. But she died last year. And I said, oh, for God's sakes, did someone spoof us? But Donnie did. It came up in his feed. And then we all went to town because it was right before our show was starting and we wanted to have the breaking news.
Oh, no.
Remember?
Oh, my God.
And my cousin's girlfriend has a mess. And I was just with her and she likened lifting her feet. I mean, I can just hear
I can hear us go on and on and on. And one of the things.
Callers started calling.
Yeah. And one of the things that, you know, was, I think, you know, like a classic great thing. But like Donnie actually spent time listening to us.
Sometimes
he wouldn't even bother. Like he would never have. He never liked, like, sometimes people are just online and talking at the same time. And he was, like, present. And
he really was.
He really was. So he was just like, oh, my God. That was.
But he's the one who alerted us, if you remember. No, he's like, oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. No,
and all of us forgot. We talked about her death 18 months earlier.
But Julia, we had thought we couldn't believe she was alive when she died the first time. I mean, I got to be real with you guys.
That's the funny part.
We were like, she's still around, you know, but she was the first famous person to say, I have MS, she, like Michael J. Fox does with Parkinson's, becomes a face. She covers People magazine. She makes it seem not so scary. You know, for a long time, she's very out there about her diagnosis. And then just as the years go by, you know, she's not there, but she put a face to that incurable disease.
Really did.
And I mean, we had old, right. What's his name? Or is that muscular dystrophy? Not Jerry Lewis. Yeah, that was muscular
dystrophy. MD.
But anyway, we were so,
and then we couldn't stop laughing. People were calling right and left.
That's a classic. It's like our Donna Mills. Yeah. You know, that's going to go down.
It's Donna Mills.
Yeah.
Classic story.
Oh, my gosh.
I just laughed reading this.
We got to just play this. So I left you a message yesterday.
I saw it because I watched it.
Oh, yeah. This is CBS Sunday Morning. So, Grant, the first story of the day, I don't know if you saw it yesterday, but it's a story about this woman who has this epiphany that people don't give themselves permission to do nothing, be lazy, that there's a negative energy to retiring, quote unquote. And even myself, when I said we were leaving the radio, I said, I don't want to call it retirement. I just want to call it what it is, more time to fart around and do whatever I want to do. And I cannot tell you how many people have said to me, even probably you too, well, what are you going to do? And I always say, whatever I want is what I always say.
Yeah,
that's what I always say. Right. I go, whatever I want. And they're like, no, really, what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. And I go, I don't know, but it's whatever I want to do. And I'm giving myself permission to just do nothing. And people are, you don't seem like, you're not, you know, like there's genuine shock and awe. And so at the end of the story, the woman does say, well, the most successful apex predators, predators on the planet are the animals that would be considered the laziest. Lions, they lie around and sleep all day. And then when they get hungry, they go kill something and then they go back to napping or lounging or lightly playing. You know, she's like, so anyway, this is just a little bit because they did this whole thing about how actually people need to embrace the art of doing nothing.
Yes.
I love that.
The big payoffs in the U.S. are making yourself available for a promotion or building your own business from scratch. So there's many good rewards from that.
But there's no reward for being lazy.
There's no reward for being lazy, I think it's fair to say. When you're at your high school reunion, you don't want to be saying, you know, I've been doing nothing.
I can't wait to say that.
According to a recent survey, Americans value hard work over just about everything else.
How about that?
Including self-fulfillment, marriage, patriotism, religion, and tolerance for others. Even retirees have a hard time doing nothing.
It gets to be what's called the conspicuous busyness, like, hey, look how busy I am and look how much time I'm spending. Maybe it's volunteering, but it should be okay to say I'm retired.
I'm doing nothing.
And as a result, I can be lazy when I feel like being lazy.
But it's not.
Because we're in this cult.
This anti-lazy cult.
Yeah, we have all been basically brainwashed to believe that we have to work hard or we're not of value.
So, it was a great story. They also, in the story, pointed out that 100 years ago, like when Freud and she named some other, you know, big thinkers, Thoreau. Anyway, she's like Monet. She said, you know, 100 years ago, people say whatever they did, they would do it for 4 hours. And then the rest of the day, they lived their lives. And this was considered, she says, now that's considered lazy. But
yes,
there was a time when people did more living of doing nothing. And maybe because you and I have had, like, this is not our first career. This is like our third career that we've been successful and very driven and, you know, ball busting, and we're not afraid to go there and, you know, show it all. So it feels so exciting to just go to people, what are you going to do? And I go, I don't know. No, nothing. And people are shocked.
I'm a little afraid of the nothing, way more than you.
Yeah.
I've had longer
to think about it.
You have. I'm a little more afraid of the nothing and know I know me that I will do something. I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know if it's. I don't ever imagine it's 5 days a week.
No,
I don't ever imagine it's anything.
That,
no, but I know I will do something, but I don't even know because I feel like I haven't had time to think in a long, long time.
We haven't, Julia, because so we have been committed radio people.
It's true.
Here.
It's true.
But it's a different thing because when you're in this cycle, I don't think outside the box enough.
Outside
of
our little world.
We don't have the time.
Yeah, so that's what I'm kind of excited about.
Absolutely.
Who am I
we
in this stage?
We don't know. I mean,
Julia 5.0?
Yeah, but I hope we do something together.
Well,
I mean,
we'll do something together, but I'll probably do other things too because you won't want to do it as much as I do.
I'm going to be busy doing whatever the hell I want.
And there's a word, in a study too that I'll tell you about that relates to this in Random Thoughts when we get right back. All this is Lori and Julia on My Talk. Hey, everybody, it's Lori and Julia here for Hammernix Flooring Solutions. And we saw Lynn and Ted the other night. And the gentleman, I believe his name is Jim, who heads up the hardwood flooring, the newest division at Hammernix. And you know what? I just want to say this. It's so cool that Hammernix is doing the hardwood flooring because I mean, 3 years ago when Jeff was moving and we were trying to find someone to do his hardwood floors.
It was impossible.
No one returned our calls. No one did anything. Here's the deal. They'll return their calls. They're on it. They can match your planks to whatever width, to whatever color. They're so responsive. And they have employees on staff. They have installers on staff at Hammernix, which makes you, whatever way you're going with flooring, really be taken care of. They've got the best pricing. They have interior designers on staff to help you stay in your budget. Residential, commercial. They're wonderful. They have three wonderful locations. They're in Hudson, they're in St. Paul, and they're also on Bassett Road. Hammernix.com for more information.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Julia's random thoughts.
He looks like that puppet. I don't know. He's had cheeky implants. It's just random.
That's all it is. Okay, so the other type of guilt that people have, you know, we're talking about retirement guilt, why people can't just own it.
I
think it's because your identity is wrapped up so much. You know, we've been on the radio kind of public.
Yeah, but
so we have to unwrap all that.
Yeah, I think no matter what you do, for a living.
Exactly.
It's such an American thing to be very defined by your work.
I'm in finance.
The French are not so, they are not so attached to this work. There's more emphasis on living anywhere in Europe. I mean, I would love to see the day when every American got 6 weeks of vacation.
Oh. The only issue, because
everyone would be so much happier and calmer.
Yes.
If you could figure out what to do with your children too, the
some
education
people don't,
is an issue.
I'm just saying that that's
okay.
Just
Sam's
something.
Raising his hand. What do you need to say, Sam?
Here's my thought on this. Actually, I'm at a different stage of my career. Obviously,
of course, you're 19 or 18.
I know I look like it. Thank
you.
Well, you know, I work my full time career is in human resources actually, and I've in the last few years sort of transitioned into this field and. This is for me the fun job. I'm using air quotes there. So even though I'm working, it doesn't cliches
feel like
is found, doesn't feel
sure,
like work,
yeah.
right?
Okay.
So being here and being able to work with you and work with Grant, it's this weird kind of dynamic where it's I'm here and I'm working, but I'm not
doesn't feel
working.
Like work.
You know what I
okay,
mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
so
yeah.
It's like I'm in this kind of weird trap of yes, I'm at work, but not working.
Yeah, we have
I'm
fun.
Saying?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
having fun while I'm here, but I'm still enjoying it.
That's how we've pretty much felt
yes.
for
almost our whole time
and
here.
Yeah.
Almost our entire time.
when you said, Lori, that you've gone through, you know, three different careers, I feel like I'm now entering my second career. Yeah. So I'm hoping that, you know, I can continue on that trajectory. So yeah, I definitely hear what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
You will. You will. It's just a different thing to look at. And like you said, you're older than me. You've had more time to get around this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the other thing is called sunshine guilt. So people like who live in Florida in the winter or live in, you know, places when it's sunny and you just want to read a book and lay inside.
Oh,
you know, because it's nice out.
Yeah.
It's that other guilt. It's called sunshine guilt.
Yeah, you should be doing something.
Yes. You should be on a walk. You should be riding your bike.
It's one of the things that I think secretly, like someone who's from Los Angeles, they secretly love it when it does rain, even though it freaks everybody out and it messes up the traffic. But secretly, they do like it.
Yeah.
Just because permission to stay at home.
To do nothing.
And to do nothing. Yeah. But when you should just give yourself permission to do nothing. Anyway.
Exactly. But I think it's hard for Americans, like you said. You know,
I've become so in touch with my French and Italian self.
That's because you're a world traveler.
And my Scandinavian roots and my just natural je ne sais quoi and joie de vie.
Lori, okay. I think you have senioritis. I think that's what the term is.
Senioritis. Okay, I love that. Okay, all right. So here's just something else that's kind of cool. So today and tomorrow is Willie Nelson's birthday. Okay, he's 91 today and tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So he was born on April 29th in 1933, very, very late at night. He was born before midnight, but he didn't get registered in the county courthouse till the next day. So it went out officially as the 30th. So he celebrates his birthday both days, which sounds like you. Just a couple... just a little facts about Willie. Willie once got high on the roof of the White House
with
President Carter's son, Chip.
Yeah.
He concealed Chip. I didn't even know President Carter's. I just think of Amy Carter.
And his brother, Billy, who had the beer.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Chip was his son who looked like Ron Howard.
Yeah, I guess I feel like we never even saw anyone but Amy in her braces.
It was a short presidential 4 years, one term.
Chip's identity in his autobiography, Willie's, he didn't want to get him in trouble. But President Carter later said, yes, that's true. At one point in 1993, I think we probably all know this story, but Willie Nelson owed the IRS $32 million. After his assets were seized, he got it down to $16.7 million, and he eventually settled through negotiation at $9 million. To help pay for this, he appeared, and Grant, I kind of want you to find this, and I'm sorry I didn't give you a heads up, in a Taco Bell commercial and sang a song about the Steak Burrito Supreme.
Oh, really?
That's how he got enough money. He said, I'll give in to this because people have wanted me to do this endorsement kind of thing. So he did that. He got caught cheating by his second wife, Shirley, after she found a bill from the maternity ward of a local hospital.
That's right. He had a baby with another woman. He wrote a check to pay for the hospital.
He did. The charges were for the birth of a baby girl born to Miss Connie Nelson. Connie became his third wife.
Wow.
Tom Brady once asked Snoop Dogg what was the most stoned he'd ever been in his whole life, and without hesitation, he said, Willie Nelson.
Yeah. That answer makes me so happy.
No, I know it. Mm-hmm. I know it. So that was just kind of fun.
And you know, he's going to be in Duluth.
I know he is. What is the date of
that? It's a Thursday night at Bayfront.
Well, is it when we're done?
It's in May, which I feel like is going to be very chilly for Willie. No, but I'm not meaning to rhyme, but it's cold off of Lake Superior in May.
Yes, it is.
You know, and he'll be up on stage, and I know they'll have heaters and stuff, but still, that whole back of that stage is open to Lake Superior.
I bet they do something special for him. Can they put up curtains or something?
Well, they'll put a blanket on him or something, and just we'll hope for good weather.
91, you guys.
That's amazing.
Today and tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll give you other facts.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, we're going to take a quick break. We will be right back. This is Lori and Julia on My Talk. Hey, gang, it's Lori and Julia here from Minneapolis Anti-Aging and Skincare Clinic with two locations. One's in Golden Valley and the other is in Maple Grove. And, you know, now is kind of like a really great time to go in for a consultation before summer. If there's some things that you really want to do, maybe some lasers that you want
to
do.
Maybe you got a reunion or a wedding. You're trying to plan timing
And back into
back
a date.
Into it, yes.
We did that for our friend Shannon.
Yes,
we helped her schedule what she should have done up to a wedding in June. But really, They are so great at what they do. Their hydrofacials, by the way, are all-inclusive. You don't get, like, do you want this add-on or that add-on? It's all-inclusive, and that's unusual. You don't get that around the Twin Cities. Mm-hmm. Their estheticians and nurses are so informed and will really help you answer any of your problems and set you on the right path. Plus, we love their products that they carry. We really do. You're going to love them. MPLSskin.com for more information.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S., the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday, so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
So CBS Sunday Morning has always been a favorite show of ours, and they do nice, in-depth, longer interviews. And so yesterday, they profiled Kate Hudson on her new singing career, really. And so she talked about, we just have a little clip of her describing one song, but what they talked about with her is just like, you know, why music? Why now? And
she's 45.
Right?
She's 45 years old. And
she said, now I can because I don't care what people think about me.
That is true. At so 45, you really don't.
She feels safe. And if you think about it, she married three musicians. Her first marriage, not marriage, or she has children with three different musicians, long-time relationships. Mm-hmm. Kris Robinson is from the Black Crowes.
Yeah.
She has her oldest son, Ryder. She was with Matt Bellamy from Muse.
Yeah.
She has her younger son. I think he might mm-hmm. be like 10
yeah.
or 11.
Yeah.
And then her baby daughter, who I think might be four now, was with Danny
Fukunaga. He's a director.
He founded Lightwave Recording Studios.
Oh, okay.
He was so in a band, in an L.A. band, was a guitarist in the L.A. band Chief, okay. which got some a little bit of a following. So she really has always been with musicians. And her
and
father.
And her dad, Bill Hudson.
From the Hudson Brothers.
And I remember they had a variety show. I want to say
three
maybe
brothers.
In 1976 or something. That must have been like the 75, you know, that must have been the heyday of variety shows because you had Carol Burnett and Sonny.
Matt Davis. Yeah, it was on, Lori.
Yeah, the Hudson Brothers.
It was the Hudson Brothers Razzle Dazzle Show.
Yeah, and they were all so cute.
Very good looking.
And they looked a lot alike.
Mm-hmm,
they had big heads of hair.
Let's see, when were they on? I think that they were on from like 74 to something else. They were teen idols.
Mm-hmm.
And so Goldie Hawn had her two older children with Bill Hudson.
Yes.
And then when they got separated, Bill moved away, I believe, or something. And the kids never really spent any more time with their dad. So
yeah,
she kind of was asked about, you know, what's the music? And she goes, well, it's in my family. My dad was part of the Hudson Brothers.
Yes.
And then she said that, you know, whoever was interviewing asked about that relationship. And she said, I don't really have one. She asked, what's your relationship with your dad? I don't really have one. But it's like, you know, it's warming up. There's warming up with all this happening. But it'll be whatever it will be. You know, I have no expectations of that with my father. It's like, I just want him to be happy.
That's a good vague answer.
It is.
That's saying absolutely nothing.
It is.
Yeah, it is.
And she likes being on stage. And they also asked her, you know, have you always wanted to do this? She goes, I tried out for every musical possible. And then she says at 15, in the last 15 years, she's tried out for every Hollywood musical possible. And anything you've seen, I've tried out for it. And then she goes on to say that one of her favorite auditions was with Baz Luhrmann for Moulin Rouge. And we had so much fun at the time. It was written for like a person who was 19, and she said it was 19. It was written for a young girl, mm-hmm. and Nicole Kidman ended up doing it. She wanted to do it, and I was like, oh, well, my chances are gone.
Well, and I mean,
Nicole was perfect.
She's 12 years older.
10 or 12 years older. Yeah,
yeah,
Nicole Kidman.
So Satine took mm-hmm. a very, very different turn. Well, remember when Kate was on Glee?
Oh, very much so.
And that's where we first learned that she could sing because she had like a I don't know. She had a 4 or 5.
You're right, Lori. I forgot about that. Yeah. Gosh, we loved that Glee.
No, I know it.
We love that Glee. And so she's got an album that's coming out this in May. And one of the songs is called Glorious. All right. And here she is talking a little bit about it.
The one song that truly rips her heart out is about Ryder, her son, with her former husband, Black Crowes frontman Chris Robinson.
He was everything to me, and then soon there would be three, and you came and changed my life.
It's the strongest love I've ever had. So when you have your first child, I was so young, and when I was writing this album, which was 2 years ago now, Ryder was leaving for college. So here I was writing this album, and my son...
I'm gonna be right there with you.
How old are yours? They're 16, so not yet.
Get ready. Get ready. But I was like, oh my God, my whole adult life, I've had this incredible partner. And now I have to like say goodbye. So that's really like all of the things I was thinking about in the song. You and I will be forever. Like, you know, go and just thrive and take everything on, you know, have fun. And I'm right here.
The album's out next month, and she's definitely going on tour. In her words, she can't wait to get back on the bus.
And she's, you know, she was in Almost Famous when she was young.
It was her first movie. Yeah. It was her first movie.
With Cameron Crowe.
If you think about that, that's incredible.
It really is. Yeah. And Live Forever is the name of the song about her son, Ryder. Yeah. But she's got a beautiful voice.
Very.
She really said, I've been doing small pop-up things and I'm ready. I'm just ready to go now. I don't care.
I see her kind of in the same vein of when Rita Wilson decided to just start covering. She did a cover album and got out there and she went on every mid-morning or morning talk show where they liked her and she's Tom Hanks's wife, so people are like, yeah, come on. And then Rita surprised everybody like she's a good singer.
A lot of these people back then could sing and dance and act and do it. Like Ryan Gosling is a good singer, you know. You had a lot of crossover and different things, but really she's got a beautiful voice and really a nice stage presence. I thought I'm kind of excited for her.
Yeah, very much so.
Anyway, she was lovely. She was lovely. She does a podcast with her brother, and her brother overshares.
Mm-hmm.
He does.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, when I read this article this morning, I was blown away that this is her debut album. I thought she's so talented. I mean, I'm shocked that she hasn't already done multiple albums.
Because she has been known, like, at parties. There have been snippets at, like, Hollywood parties or, you know, Kurt and Goldie, because we would consider them A-plus actors. And Kate will be singing and go like that. She's been
with a mic before.
She's been with the mic before and she's at different things and she's quite talented. And like I said, we did see her on Glee.
Yeah. Yes. So that's Kate Hudson. So her album's coming out. She was just so cute.
Yeah.
And I wonder if she was like 21 or 22 when she had Ryder.
She was like 20, I think.
She was 20. Yeah. So really.
So she's a young mom like her mom and... You know, a lot of times, you know, that is, you know, people will follow in the, but you'll follow in the footsteps of, you know, your parents. And that's how I felt and feel about my, because I still have my mom. But I mean, it is an incredibly unique experience to have young parents and to be the kid that has the young parents, you know, because sometimes you get mistaken as siblings when you, aunt and uncle, or, you know, it's a very bizarre thing because once we got out of the military, it wasn't so common to see so many young parents. Like a lot of my parents' friends also got pregnant at 17, 18, joined the military and, you know, but out in civilian life, you didn't see that.
You called me old, a barren woman when I told you I had my first child at 31. I believe that was just last week.
Yeah. Oh, my mom was pregnant with my brother and she was 29. I was mortified. I'm like, geez, you are an old woman, mother. What are you doing having a baby?
How are we going to throw you around in the wheelchair and you're going to be 30
and you're having a baby?
Isn't that something? How much has changed?
Yeah. But anyway, so, you know, we were wondering about how Britney was feeling about settling with her.
Britney Spears.
Yeah, with her father and paying his legal bills when we thought that he was going to get in big trouble for doing all kinds of bad things. But
what do you think happened there, Lori?
Well, I think that there's something called the grief to dollar ratio. And because her Rosengart, her attorney, probably told her, your dad has pissed away all the money he took from you. He's made bad investments. We've done the forensic accounting. There's nothing to claw back from him, except you can take the place that he's living in. And she's like, well, I don't want to do that. And maybe there's
because you, I love it.
No, but I mean, I'm just envisioning how this goes, and there's nothing to get from him.
I get it. I totally get it.
And she's already, we already know he's a horse hockey terrible father, right up there with King Chuck, who's going to be too busy to see Harry when the Invictus Games opens. Can't even go, you guys. But anyway. There's nothing there for her. And I don't know if there's a case to be made for Lou Taylor, the management company that was involved with the stealth planning of how to hold someone captive who's going through postpartum depression. I mean, you still haven't finished Britney's book, but when you do finish it, you will be so outraged at the story that was told. Planned by PR.
I read that part.
But you still, the way she writes about it, and I think where Britney has gone, and you know, she put up something about how she has acupuncture every day because, you know, remember her dad works her like a show pony. Mm-hmm. She did 5 years straight in Las Vegas with like 6 weeks off total. Mm-hmm. Just terrible.
She took down her Instagram today.
Yeah, she took it down, but she hasn't had posting on, but it might just be, it's still, I know I'm still pissed for her. So I can only imagine how she's got to work through all these feelings of having been betrayed by her family for 13 years and everyone bought into it. And thank God. That lady in the forced rehab place that her dad made her go to showed her about Free Britney.
Right.
And she learned that she could have had a lawyer 13 years ago representing her interests.
Just the lost. I think it would be maddening.
The lost years.
I worry about her because
of because of every... That's a lot of trauma.
That's a ton of trauma. And is there anyone around?
You know what? I feel like Matthew Rosengart, the attorney that got her out, I think she's got, you know, a fun boy toy that may or may not be in her life that may or may not have a connection to the Twin Cities. And yeah, Joya, I mean, we've only seen him a few times, but there's, I don't think, I wonder who is spilling to People magazine right now and spilling all these details about how they're so worried about Britney. Because if it's not coming from Britney, don't believe it. That's what we have to learn from her book. So many lies were told about her with the cooperation of a lot of PR coordination. I mean, it really was. So, you know, she's just taking it down because she really bared her soul yesterday about and bared her little cute behind and just said, I'm going to have acupuncture nice every day because of all the dancing injuries she has.
I didn't even dance and I want it every day. All right, we're going to take a break.
But I'm just saying.
I know it. I think that's a nice, soft way.
I think her lawyer just said, there's nothing to get from your dad.
Okay.
We can't get any money back. The dumb bastard has spent it all.
Fair enough. All right. With that, we're going to take a break.
King Charles too busy to meet with London. I mean, with Harry when he's just going to be in London. And why will no one from the royal family go to the Invictus game? And why will the British tabloids write a million bad stories about how evil these two are? Why?
I think as a father, it's time to show up, Prince Charles, and it's
King Charles.
Act
like a king.
Just act like a mature adult. act like a dad.
Yeah.
For a hot second. You know, I have a hard time with this.
I know. Maybe it's, this is always an excuse, but from watching The Crown.
He was never parented himself, so they don't know how to do it. They don't know how to do love and intimacy.
Julia, exactly right.
Gosh.
Jeez,
and to think we wanted to be princesses when we grew up. At one point in our life, I felt it.
Okay. You know, Roger Friedman told us this in February, alerted us to the fact that he wondered if Anna Wintour would regret asking TikTok to be the big sponsor of the Met Gala this year.
We were shocked when it happened.
We were.
She needed a big sponsor.
She did.
And they were willing to pay.
Yep.
And I bet it wasn't a lot of work. She needed money.
Yes.
So they...
Well, now, because TikTok got, you know,
they're in a little bit...
They're supposedly going to have to sell... ban the Chinese social media platform or force its sale. And the big reason why, like, this has been a thing is that TikTok itself isn't even, it's not available in China.
It isn't?
No.
Okay.
And there's been a couple other countries that have banned it because of the geo-pegging, tagging, all the info that's found out about you. I just made up geo-pegging.
I'm like, I never heard
of it. But I like that, you guys, if you know what pegging is, because I felt like that's what's going on.
Stop. Oh, don't even get her going. Grant, do not laugh.
Yeah, okay.
Don't laugh.
Anyway.
But she just made that up, and I thought, did she learn a new word?
But who is her guest of honor is the TikTok CEO.
It's bad.
Xiao Chu.
It's bad.
And just days after Biden signs this thing into law, and so it's causing, you know, like Rihanna is there. She pulled her music from TikTok. Mm-hmm. There's a lot, you know, there's a lot of people. Bad Bunny, I don't think he has his music on TikTok. And it's kind of been because anyone who's a Universal music artist, they accuse TikTok of bullying everybody to paying a fraction of the money for using the music.
I thought that got settled, Grant.
No.
Most
of it all came back. A lot of Taylor Swift's did come to an agreement on
but
it.
But not with Universal.
Got it. Okay, got it.
They probably offered more money to Taylor. Well, now listen to as if that isn't enough. And, you know, the Met Gala loses money. It costs more than $1 million to stage it. Even after donations.
Even if it's a fundraiser.
Yes, it's
true. For the Met Gala.
So the other thing that's happening is that Condé Nast, the magazine, which Anna sits at the top of, they published Vogue, Vanity Fair,
Travel-Asia.
The New Yorker, Wired. Anyway, they want to be paid more money. The New Yorker and Wired are union. Condé Nast doesn't want any of the other magazine writers, and so they're going to picket
right in front of the Met Gala.
Yeah, 100 Condé Nast unions, and basically they want to, you know, just say so that people know what's going on, that they are getting paid crap while she's mingling with fellow millionaires. And Condé Nast is refusing to settle a fair contract and is trying to lay off 100 Condé. Yes, 100 more people.
They already said they were going to lay off 250.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, it's tough.
So
yeah. She's, and that's in 1 week. That's why it's all coming to a head, kind of.
Yeah. So Roger Freeman writes, so Winter will have her Kardashians and other gross social media people sprinkled in with the greats at the end, walking past protesters. On Monday, that would be an embarrassing first.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
Because she can't uninvite the TikTok guy.
No, she can't. He paid for it.
Yeah.
That's just going to look bad.
Yeah.
All right.
What do you make of Britney Spears' little sister, Jamie, posting day after, you know, the settlement, shared a meme of an unamused little boy with pursed lips. And she captioned it, me watching what I predicted unfold after everyone told me I was crazy.
I don't.
Is that a Did she know? I think she just knew that Britney, she knew that her dad spent all the money and Britney would settle. I don't know.
I
don't know why she's being smug.
And maybe, I don't know, because she was hurt by her sister, I think, too. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. She's so much younger, Lori.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right.
She had a baby when she was 15 or something. I mean, she went through a lot of her own trauma. I don't know. This family's so dysfunctional, I can't.
Yes.
They're just so dysfunctional. Oh. It just hurts to even talk about them because they're so dysfunctional.
What do you make of the Broadway actor who quit the CTC show 2 days before the opening with Peter's swan song? Okay. This is a scandal.
So this is the actor that came back that did Frog and Toad at the Children's Theater Company. A year with Frog and Toad.
In 2002, he originated it.
Huge hit. Huge hit.
Went to Broadway.
The director or the head of CTC, this is his very last performance or something. Is that it?
It's his swan song. Yeah. And then he's going to do whatever the hell he wants.
So the actor that came back to play the lead.
He wrote a post. Don't try to revisit things you did in the past that you're really proud of. And that were magical. Let them be memories. Because this was a nightmare.
He liked everybody. He said he likes the staff. He likes all the people, the set people, the artists, everyone but the director.
Oh, boy.
I know.
What, talk about putting everybody in a lynch. Well, you know what? Break a leg for the guy who's the undertoad. Undertoad. See what I did there?
Yeah, undertoad.
The understudy.
The understudy.
But he is the undertoad who's now the frog.
Yes, he is.
That's the happy ending.
That is a happy ending. Okay. All right. We are going to take a quick break. We will be right back.